Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Howdy, third hour on the show. Hour number three, Tiki and Tierney, company from our studios, The Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can on this Tuesday around the country. Hopefully everybody's well. Appreciate you hanging out with us here on this pretty busy sports day. A lot of Cam residue from yesterday. A little Antonio Brown, a little Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Did some baseball as well. And now we get to a guy who is obviously incredibly gifted. But, you know, the latest, and it's not a huge deal with Zeke. Basically, if you missed it, he was on Twitch and he forgot to log off his camera for the live stream. And then he said to a buddy that he said, I'm straight faded or I'm something faded.
Yeah, I'm a little
legit faded.
Something like little drunk or little faded.
No, no, he didn't use the word drunk. That's the whole. That's
no low key faded.
Low key faded.
There
it is.
Low key faded,
which, you know, in today's verbiage is a way of saying pretty stoned. Low key faded. Now listen, you know, we've all had drinks, right?
I mean,
everybody responds to everything differently, so I can't offer this one blanket conclusion. But usually when you drink, you get a little more hopped up. You do. You get a little more.
It depends on what you're drinking.
Well, true, I guess. But at the end of the night, like there's all we've all been here, where it's the end of the night, and for some reason you pour that last one, and you're home, and you're comfortable, you're not driving, you're not even out, so if you get a little sloppy, it doesn't matter. You're sitting by the fire pit in the basement, whatever it is. You're with your buddies, you're with your family, people you trust and love, and you can act like a dope. And you're just like, wow, man, I got to go to bed, guys. I'm done, man. Like, there's no more to go. And you just get up, and you excuse yourself, and you somehow stumble to bed. And you're, you know, low-key out of it. You're a little, but you're drunk. Like, but usually people who drink are a little more boisterous. And I don't know. I mean, I don't care if he was high.
Yeah.
If I had to take a guess, do I think he was drunk or high? I would guess that he was high.
Yeah.
I guess in his eyes now he's suing SI because probably thinks it's more socially acceptable still, which isn't necessarily true to be.
Well, he said he was suing.
Drunk.
We don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
We don't know if he is going to.
That's true.
He kind of threatened it.
That's a great point because SI ran the piece and they said that he was high and then Zeke said, I was drunk, so that slander you'll be hearing from my lawyers to this point. Let's see if they actually do.
No, defamation. He used defamation.
Defamation.
Which I guess is similar. I know that there's a difference, but I can't think of it
there's
off the top of my head.
Yeah,
who cares? We know what he's talking about. We'll put a sick if he was wrong.
yeah.
But he basically said, I was actually talking about a few drinks that I had, and then he threatens to sue. But here's the thing, though, BT. Does he even care? I mean, why do we care? I don't think we care in today's day and age, especially after the NFL and its new collective bargaining agreement has changed the penalty, if there even is one, for marijuana use or getting high, and especially in the off season. You know, it used to be there was one time that you couldn't smoke marijuana. That was right before you went to training camp, because you were going to have to take a test on the first day of training camp. And if you failed it, that was your fault for being an idiot.
Yep.
And the only other times you were tested were if you were in the program. So like you had tested once already, or actually it's a couple times and you get put into the program. Then ultimately after three strikes, you'll get suspended for half the season and then ultimately for the whole season if it's like five times down the line. Mm-hmm. And so it was really hard to get in trouble for it. But obviously, we know where marijuana has come in this country. It's significantly more accepted. Medicinally, it's legal in almost every state. Recreationally, it's trending that way, even though it probably is going to take a lot longer than some people would hope. But it's not viewed as taboo as it once was, and especially for athletes who were, you know, dealing with stress and anxiety and the physical poundings, in particular football players, the physical poundings that come from playing professional sports. It's kind of like, okay, I get it. I know why you need to take the edge off. And I honestly, BT, would be, I'd feel better if more guys were doing that than tilting up bottles of vodka.
I would too.
You know, half a handle of vodka.
Yep.
Trying to feel better or go to sleep or knock themselves out. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with that.
So I get why he's like, oh man, did I even turn this thing off? Right?
I mean, he definitely sounded high.
Oh, he was. I mean, he clearly
sounded like he had some good stuff too.
Yeah, right. but I don't know why he cares.
Not that like stuff that Tiki used to get in the streets with Rondé in the 1990s.
Yeah, right. In Roanoke, Virginia, because they had it there.
It's half oregano, half weed. Here you go. $10. $10 a bag.
I got it at Kroger.
I mean, listen. I mean, some of this stuff, the THC levels are like 22, 23%. Yeah. It'll just knock into next week. And it sounds like that's, I'm sure. Listen, so don't send your lawyers after me, Zeke. If Zeke was smoking.
Allegedly,
I'm quite sure Zeke was smoking the good stuff, which is why he sounded that way. But you know what? There's always something with this guy. Hmm. Like back in March, and listen, this will bear itself out in court on some level, you know, whether it's civil. I don't know what's going to exactly happen here. But, you know, the women who were cleaning his pool, cleaning his home, filed some sort of suit that his dogs attacked them while they were cleaning. All right, that's March. In April, he's irresponsibly partying during quarantine, during Dak's birthday. We know the situation back in the day when he inexplicably and just disrespectfully lifted up that girl's shirt at the party. He just does dumb things. Like he's listen here. I hear you on the differences between alcohol and marijuana.
Yep.
And you and I have been on the same page for a long time. But you know what? You know, everybody knows I love Sam Darnold. I would hope Sam Darnold, as much as I'm okay with smoking weed in certain situations, I would hope Sam Darnold's not smoking weed.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to make you better. I mean, that much we know.
Yeah, that's
it's
a good point.
It's far more socially acceptable. It's not going to make you better.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to me, you know, Zeke is always this combination of unreliable and unlikable.
It's interesting.
Really is.
Well, it's interesting because he's been productive. That's for one.
Not disputing that.
True. Like,
he's great.
And at the end of the day, I mean, I hate to say it, but this is the truth. If you can be a knucklehead, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm not saying that at all. But he is a little bit of a knucklehead, right? You can be a knucklehead, and if you have as much success as he has had, he led the league his rookie season. The last couple, he's been right there, even after missing four games. I think the second season, he missed four games, and he was still like one of the best runners in football. So if you are a talented as he is, then you kind of get away with these things. And he's got the contract. Yeah, I mean, he's led the league twice, BT, twice in rushing. 1,600 yards his rookie season, two seasons ago, 1,400 yards, even though that inexplicably only had six touchdowns that 2018 season, his third season.
Yeah.
But he's right there.
And his first 3 years, he led in yards per game.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, yards per game, 3 years in a row.
Exactly.
That's not the conversation. He's great. We all know
great.
That.
And so my point is the reason that he gets away with these things is because he's great. As soon as he gets marginalized and becomes a, you know, less than great, less than Pro Bowl, less than All Pro player. How many All Pros has he made? He's only made one All Pro for his rookie season, but he's been to the Pro Bowl three times. Like once he becomes a step less than that, then these things become problematic because then they become a distraction. Right now, they're just kind of like annoyances that float around him, but nobody pays attention to it because he's still so good.
Yeah,
and it sucks that it's that way, but that's the reality. You know,
but what happens when he's 24 years of age and he still has the number of hits he's absorbed based on the carries and the receptions is still
getting a lot of carries, man.
I know, but it's still very manageable.
304, 301.
Yeah. No, the numbers are high, but it's still manageable based on his age.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not like he's walking around like a 35-year-old right now.
Yeah,
but eventually,
that's
going to catch up. And when that begins to catch up and, you know, the initial bounce and an explosion erodes just a little bit, which it will because it does for everybody, you know, what is he doing when nobody's watching to stretch out two or three more good seasons, or does he just fizzle out? I can tell you this, Saquon Barkley's not on Twitch stoned.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey's not on Twitch stoned or drunk.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah,
Christian McCaffrey's hanging out with his model girlfriend on a yacht having fun, but he's not stoned. I don't think he's stoned. And, you know, those are the guys. Like, I look at Dallas' situation, and while Zeke is a big part of the answer, mm-hmm. clearly, to me, he's also a part of the problem.
There's a potential for him to be a big part of the problem. If
yeah,
they start,
because
you know
think
what I mean?
About well, I, but I think the problem is very obvious because, you know, they've been at this stalemate with their quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their finances are a little bit out of whack because there's some age on the offensive line. They paid those. We know who they paid and who they haven't. And I know you can get out of Cooper's contract in a couple of years. It's not overly punitive. I get that. But, you know, so because you paid, granted, an incredibly talented running back a year earlier than you truly had to, you know, now the residue on that decision is to keep your franchise quarterback hanging
mm-hmm.
while the guy you paid is getting high on a stream.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. Yeah. Listen, you won't find many shows that are as loose as this show is when it comes to marijuana, but there's still got to be a professional protocol.
Yeah.
I mean, get off the damn stream and you look like a moron.
Yeah. It's a bad look at the end of the day. And
you look sub-professional.
Yeah. That's the more better way to call it. Like he looks unfit to be, like the face,
a team leader.
Yeah, exactly. The guy in the locker room that everybody's looking forward to the example.
Yes,
right. Because think of any circumstances you've been in, and I'm talking about with your friends or with colleagues. And there's that guy. You know what I mean? He's always a little bit faded. He's always a little low key faded.
Yep.
He's never the leader.
No,
ever.
He's blending into the woodwork.
That's right. He's just kind of, he's there. He may actually be great for the group.
Yep.
Right? Whether you're
a group
of
friends,
you need
a guy like that.
You need that guy. But
that's
he's not your leader.
He's not.
And Zeke is paid, to your point, BT, he's making $35 million in the next dead cap money this year. So his cap number is significant part of the cap. He's only making $10 million in total money this year, mm-hmm. only $10 million. But he's a big piece of the cap. So how you construct your team. And when you're that big of a piece of the cap, you're supposed to be the leader, right? Mm-hmm. At least one of the leaders. And this isn't the behavior that you want to see from a leader, especially of the Dallas Cowboys, man. This is America's team. This is
where everything's amplified.
Exactly. This is what Jerry Jones always talks about. Everything that you do, good or bad, is going to be amplified. It's why when Dak Prescott has a party during the lockdown that was going on because of the coronavirus, it became a big deal.
And this is important. I'm sorry. It was the early stages too.
Yes, yeah.
When everybody's alert should have been on an all time.
That's right.
It should be back on all time high
That's
now.
Right.
But that was during the formative stage. Nobody knew what the hell was going on.
That's
like
right.
That was really rogue.
That's right. And that's why, you know, with not necessarily with Dak, but in that instant with Dak, with Zeke, and Zeke was also there, by the way, at his party.
Yeah.
It just feels like, what are you guys doing leadership-wise? Or do you not care how you're perceived as a leader? And that might be the situation. But I think you can look at history in sports and see that those teams don't always, they rarely are successful, right? The leader, the guy who's supposed to be, you know, the alpha, in your locker room is always the one that's doing the right things. And it doesn't seem like this Dallas Cowboys team has that.
No, and it's problematic. Now, they didn't really have it with Jason, who's certainly competent, but wasn't that outward leader. Maybe McCarthy becomes more of that. Projects a little differently. I think we all think he will.
Yeah, you mean if the player isn't there, the coach better be.
On some level. Yeah. I don't know if that's optimal, but it's better than none.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, I'm gonna say what I said again. He fluctuates between being unreliable and unlikable.
Yeah,
he really does. Like,
but on Sundays, he's amazing.
Well, then he's almost irreplaceable.
That's right. And
that's again the wild fluctuation.
That's why it's so hard to judge him.
I know
it's really hard to judge him.
I hear.
If you're starting your team and you have your choice of running backs, are you taking him? Are you taking Christian McCaffrey?
I'm taking McCaffrey.
Or Saquon Barkley?
I'm taking Saquon and McCaffrey over him.
Yeah.
You aren't?
Of course. Oh. I definitely am. Okay. I definitely am.
And there's others I might. Let me just get all the running backs.
Yeah, Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is in this conversation.
I don't know if I take Nick Chubb over him.
Nick Chubb is pretty damn good,
I know he's really good. I don't know if I take him over him.
Nick Chubb is good. Derrick Henry, I really like. I've always liked him because he's a finisher. Mm-hmm. He's not as dynamic. He's not nearly as dynamic as any of these other guys because he's not a receiver.
Cook.
Dalvin Cook. Probably I would as well, you know.
Kamara
definitely would. I love him. So yeah, I mean, so he may lead in statistical categories, right? Yeah. Yards per carry. Each of his first 3 years, he did twice. He led the league in rushing. He's had one 2,000 yard season. That was in that 2018 year when he had 77 receptions. Also, so he's a good player, but given all the other stuff, it's like. It's almost like he disqualifies himself from being that number one guy because of all the other stuff.
Yeah, and you know, eventually a lot of little things become kind of a big thing because it does speak to who you are. And listen, we are. I think we're very fair to young athletes on this show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're fair to athletes in general, but I certainly hope we are, and I take pride in us doing that. But I think that we're particularly aware of the pitfalls and the trappings of, you know, becoming rich, becoming affluent for the first time, and temptations and, you know, different stages that you're on where you just thrust into an environment that you've never been in. And, yeah, you know, you've got to give young men and women, but young men in the NFL and all the sports a chance to kind of, you know, grow and feel themselves. But right. Now this is at least six or seven. You know, some have been offensive, like with the girl's shirt. Mm-hmm. Some have been, whatever, it's just kind of stupid.
Yep.
But there's six or seven things we've talked about.
That's right.
And we haven't said one thing about Saquon or Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, so the problem. So here's the problem. People who will disagree with us will say, he's just smoking weed. Who cares?
All right.
Right? And in a vacuum, that's how we started the segment. I don't care.
Nope.
Right? Go get blazed. Who cares? Do it publicly. I don't care. But then don't compound that with everything else that's gone on in your brief history in the National Football League and claim to be a leader on that team. Because that's not what a leader looks like.
It's good stuff. I'm going to leave it at that. Phil Sims will join us next here. We'll get back to the Cam stuff. I know that Phil's offspring, our buddy Chris, was basically saying that the Pats are set up better now for Cam than they would have been with Brady. Is the more sage Pops singing the same tune? We'll find out next. Tiki and Tierney. Phil Sims next. Can't wait. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com. We waited a while for this guy. And then again, we really haven't been bothering him during the quarantine and during this incredibly strange, alarming period in our history without sports. But we know that this guy's been cranking out the tape, and he's still breaking down his quarterbacks. Because that's what he does. Former quarterback, Super Bowl champ, offensive leader of the G-Men back in the day, and one of the great analysts, part of the CBS crew for a long time, our buddy Phil Sims. Phil, how you doing, buddy? What's happening, man?
I'm doing well, Brandon. I see you got a nice tan working. Tiki, yep. You look like you've been running about 20 miles a day, so I don't know if you have or not. But
only seven.
Just seven, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, that's seven more than I'm going to run.
So. Got the farmer's tan, Phil.
Exactly.
Oh, is that it? Okay. But, no, I have not. Since the draft has been over, I kind of been away from all that. Oh. I spend most of my time just kind of looking at maybe not a lot of film anymore. But I do look at a few college quarterbacks, what I think they, you know, coming out next year, maybe the year before, that kind of stuff, and checking them out just a little. But really just try to stay busy during this pandemic. That's
laying
it.
Low. Okay, yeah, well, there you go. Well, I know you have some pretty good thoughts on Cam. So let's get to Cam Newton. I mean, the way I frame it, Phil, the Patriots, and this is even Belichick and going back to his days with you and the Giants with Bill, the Giants back then were relatively risk-averse. The Patriots are a risk-averse, buttoned-up franchise. And Cam is an off-script freelancing type. So something's got to give a little bit. I know your son loves it. You like this as much as Chris?
I probably like it more than him. I know he liked it a lot. But I think we did talk after he talked about Cam Newton. Look, he had Cam Newton as a top-10 quarterback in the NFL. If you were starting this year and you have to pick a guy for your future, he still took him. I think he was in the top 10. But I think it's a really good fit. Think about what the Patriots are. they're really a run team, screen team, throw it to the back team, and every once in a while, let's block it up and take some shots. Now, does that like sound like it fits Cam Newton? I mean, Cam Newton's going to sit there and go, wow, there's about 15 completions I'm going to hit every game, every game, and I don't have to do anything. And, you know, and of course, talent, he has it. He has a great, a really strong arm. He spins the ball. It's easy to catch. He has great size, and, of course, he's got experience. And then the mobility. You know, he won't be asked to run the ball like he did down in Carolina. So he's going into a team that relies on their power game and run game and all the other stuff that we talk about, the deceptions. And then it's about their defense, and especially their defensive secondary, which is still, without question, the best one in the NFL.
Yeah. Real quick follow-up, Teague. I'm sorry. So, but, Phil, are you telling us that there's not even, you know, this semblance of a quarterback competition with Stidham? Like, Cam's the guy no matter what?
Oh, no, I'm not going to say that, just because I just know how the Patriots work.
Okay.
And, you know, Cam's not going to be able to go on the practice field and go, oh, don't worry, I got it. They don't deal with that. And the other thing is, I have no doubt he's going to adapt to all these things. Who has not adapted to the Patriot way when they go up there? They all do. Everybody does. And a lot of them love it because of the structure and the demands are so strong.
Mm-hmm.
But Cam's going to be sitting in a team meeting, and they're going to be watching something. And Belichick will wait till the right time, but it won't take long. I mean, Cam, I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We got an out, you couldn't hit it? I mean, I got a high school kid over here who can do it. And, you know, and it's real. He did it to Tom Brady all the time. I got it done to me that way, but that's what they believe in. You know, you coach everybody hard. And here's the other thing, too, about Cam that people don't talk enough about. His personality is, you know, that's not a negative. It's a positive. He's going to be on the practice field. He's always got energy. He's going to walk through the locker room. You know he's talking. Tiki, you know.
Yep.
You guys, you got to have two or three guys to keep the locker room alive. And I know Bill Belichick, we've had many discussions about that. Getting that two or three that just go in and can keep it stirred up, you know, just if it's fun or taking, you know, telling some guy, hey, man, you better start playing better or you're in trouble or whatever it is, you know, those kind of things. And Cam is a lightning rod, but I think he has the ability to be a really good leader. And I believe people follow him when he gets it going.
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember that MVP season. I was like, man, I want to come out of retirement play with him. He looks fun, right, with Cam Newton. So, but you mentioned something interesting about his personality and the Patriot way. And I would also say that I think Bill Belichick, and you know him because he was a coordinator, you know, when you were with the Giants. He's got to be smart enough to know that how we did it with Tom Brady at the helm, meaning the Patriot way, as we all think we know it,
right,
it's got to evolve a little bit, especially because offenses are changing a little bit. It's just that the player is just different. Yes, I know they all want to win and they go there and they buy in, but the player is different now than he's ever been.
Well, you know, Atiki, they're always evolving in New England. I mean, in what way do you say how you treat the players or whatever? I think they... You know, you buy into the group. You know, there's the McCourty twins up there. Everybody's up at Hightower. All the guys have been around. They, you know, they take it or whatever. So it'll be easy for Cam to accept because this is the way it is for everybody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just think about over the years. Now, their defense has constantly gone through, we play this way. It was this, and it was our front. Now it's the secondary. They did four wide receivers before anybody thought about doing it. They went 16-0 that year.
Yeah.
They did it with two tight ends. Oh, they did it with the slot receiver and Wes Welker before people started doing it. Then they said, well, you know, we got this running back who's as good as a wide receiver, and all of a sudden, oh, the running backs become a great focal point of their pass game. So they're always changing, and I laugh to think, oh, well, I don't know if Cam Newton will fit in up there. Man, they can take anybody and fit them into their system because their system is everything.
Yep.
So they do everything. So they'll call and do what's best for him. But I don't see their style of play. I don't know what you guys think. I do not see their style of play changing a lot just because they have Cam Newton.
Yeah, no, we've pretty much hit on that. So that's Phil Sims, 15 years with the Giants, two Super Bowls, MVP in one of them. He's part of the Giants Ring of Honor, as is my partner Tiki. They're both up there together. He's with us here on the show. All right, so let's get away from Cam for a little bit and kind of branch around to a few pressure points at the quarterback spot. You know, Baker's got to pop through this year. Darnold's got to pop through this year. There's an urgency for Allen to take another step. Who's got the most pressure? I know it's in kind of a broad question, but which quarterback right now do you think has the most true pressure to just play well this season on him?
Of those three quarterbacks?
No, in the entire league. I just gave you a few examples.
Well, of course, you know, Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago's the first one that jumps to mind. But, you know, when you talk about Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and Baker Mayfield, I mean, none of them really have that pressure on them. This is the year they got to deliver. If any of them, one of those three struggles, they're not going to bench them. They're still going to give them another year to go and prove that they're the franchise quarterback because they've invested so much time, money, and everything else into these guys. So when I hear people say, hey, make or break year for Baker Mayfield, no, it's not. I mean, yeah, if he's absolutely horrendous, which he will not be, then, yeah, it could be. But it's just about progressing with the team. And I think the good thing for all three of these young quarterbacks, just to start with those three, that they all have enough around them where they're going to have a chance to perform at a pretty high level.
Now, wait, you think Darnold has enough around them?
Well, I'm not saying he has great stuff around him, but it's better than last year.
That's true. Oh, it can't be worse.
Wide receiver.
Yeah.
And they've helped. They made some good pickups, I think, on the offensive line. Of course, Mekhi Becton, getting him, he's going to be a help. So I think that it's better. Okay. Yeah, Sam Darnold, that's a little bit better. And, of course, we hope Le'Veon Bell for the Jets comes into camp and is in the shape of the guy we saw in Pittsburgh, not the guy that we saw last year. Late in the year, you kind of went, oh, now he's finally back in football shape. So I think this offseason, this COVID-19 has hurt some guys like that who need an offseason program to really get back into. I don't care how much you train. Tiki, tell your partner there, we know no matter how much you train.
Doesn't matter. You get to camp and it's like, man, did I do anything?
That's exactly right.
Everyone's I believe it. Yeah. I believe it.
Any other quarterbacks to hit you, Brandon? I'm trying to think. You know, Tyrod Taylor is going to be under the microscope. You know, of course, Teddy Bridgewater will be under the microscope.
Hey, Phil, let me give you a vet. What about Aaron Rodgers? You know, we talked earlier in this show today about how. Brandon Marshall said, they wasted his career. And some of it is kind of on Aaron Rodgers himself. Some of it is bad luck because of injuries. But they draft Jordan Love. I know Brett Favre is not really paying attention, saying Jordan Love should be used like Taysom Hill, which I don't see happening.
Great. I love that.
Oh, it's great, right? It's never going to happen. He's not that kind of runner. No, but Aaron Rodgers is in an interesting inflection point and in crossroads because – He was really good last year, not exceptional. He looked old at times, but they drafted a guy to replace him. And in today's NFL, you don't just let the guy sit for 3 years like he did behind Brett Favre. Is there pressure on Aaron Rodgers right now?
I'd say no, not even close to pressure. Because, first off, I fell off my couch when they drafted him. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we all did.
Okay, I know we want a wide receiver, but you know you could have got somebody. The draft was loaded with defensive tackles that can help stop the run and do other things and push the pocket. They need that as much as they need a receiver and other players. Just think of their run defense. Every time they played somebody good, they got absolutely run over.
Yep, San Francisco.
And they did nothing to do, you know, early in the rounds to rectify that. Did they need another quarterback? No. Jordan Love, I like him. His skill level, it's good. But he is he needs to be polished up a lot. I mean, we're talking about a guy about potential. He's not coming in the league with Sam Darnold, all these guys you talk about that we know a lot about. He's inconsistent, has to learn a lot, and, you know, he's a project, really. And I thought it was a reach for the Green Bay Packers, not only reaching for the quarterback, but just a move that does not help a team that's in Super Bowl mode, which they are with Aaron Rodgers right now.
Phil, we don't have a ton of time, but I want to spread around love as much as we can. I think Kyler Murray, and I said this a couple of years ago with Mahomes, that he would, you know, with the MVP. I'm not saying Kyler's going to win it. I do believe he's going to thrust himself to the fringe of the MVP conversation this year. I'm a big believer in Murray. Do you share similar enthusiasm or no?
I do, for many reasons. His second year, I think he showed how quick he can get rid of the football. His speed is, you know, he might be as fast a quarterback as there is in the league, and I'm putting Lamar Jackson in that category. And I think the biggest thing is, of course, we know they've improved the team, the wide receiving core, you know, getting DeAndre Hopkins was great. But Cliff Kingsbury, the thing I noticed when I watched him last year, I would say about week 9, just 10, somewhere in there, they started to change their offense a little. So, in other words, Cliff Kingsbury started going, man, everybody in the league is doing this, and it's working. So I think I'm going to try that and quit doing all my stuff. And he kind of evolved a little bit, and I'm really interested to see, you know, how this year goes for him. I think it's going to be better for Cliff Kingsbury and better for Kyler Murray. And I think he is truly a can't-miss quarterback.
Teke, you got one more for Phil?
No, that was it. But, and you bring up the Kyler Murray, but it just makes the NFC West really, really compelling. And the NFC's got a couple of conferences like this that are quarterback-laden, the NFC West and the NFC South with Tom Brady now down there. Yeah, there's going to be some divisions that are kind of up for grabs, and some teams that might not make the playoffs are going to be spoilers for sure.
Well, you're talking about a lot of teams, they're in divisions, they got six tough games.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one thing. And I don't know I know this. Somebody said to me, well, the league just doesn't have enough. The league is loaded more than ever with tremendous starting quarterbacks. And we got backups that could be starters in years past and would be frontline starters maybe. So, you know, the league is in great shape. And, you know, listen, Cam Newton going to the New England Patriots, that just gives the whole season just another jolt of we can't watch to see what happens with Cam and, of course, with Tom Brady down in Tampa. So I think it's interesting. The one thing that Bill Belichick has shown over the years, he is the most patient guy when it comes to making certain moves. And he just sat and waited and waited and waited, and finally they pulled the trigger and got Cam Newton. And it changes the way we all think about the Patriots, and they kind of need him, and I would think he will beat Jared Stidham out for sure. I mean, I said I would think, but their schedule, it's brutal.
Yeah.
And you need a veteran quarterback to kind of navigate you through a schedule that is, I think it's rated as the tough in the NFL, so Cam Newton can help them get through that schedule.
Yeah, it's good to hear this man's voice. It's always good hearing Phil talk about football, talk about quarterbacks. He is truly a gentleman, a staple here at CBS for a long time, giant legend. Great stuff, Phil. Really good having you back
on
the show,
guys,
man.
Thanks for having me on, and hope to see you soon.
Yep, most certainly. Thank you, Phil.
There he is. And Phil was a boxer back in the day. A lot of people don't know. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Phil was an amateur boxer. Yeah. Tough as nails kind of guy.
I can see that, actually.
He could throw the mitts a little bit. He could. Let's get the update for Mac. We'll come back with a blast for you and some ominous news for baseball. We'll tell you what that is after Ack, although Ack will tell you before I get to it. So Ack will blow up the tees, but maybe Ack won't. Here's Ack's update right now. Just brutal, Teke. Minor League Baseball canceled for the entire 2020 season. Not a stunner, based on the circumstances.
I'm reading it as well.
Yeah, you know, this just came through.
Yep. Without a way to generate money and no way to put fans in the seats, Minor League Baseball bowed to the inevitable Tuesday and canceled its season.
Yeah.
They're filling some of these stadiums with, like, farmers markets and outdoor theaters and restaurants just to make ends meet. Mm. Looks like every team, we know this already, they're going to have 30-man taxi squads. Every team should have that. Some of these affiliates will take advantage of that, but not a lot of them. And it's a bad deal for minor league baseball.
It's a bad deal for those who are on the fringe of making it, where development is really, really stunted. It's horrendous for those who just entered the minors a year ago and are in rookie ball, and their progress is really stunted. It's horrible for all the fans and all the small towns that really count on the money and the economic bolstering of the really probably most of their economy. I mean, really, it's a big thing. But what I think is going to happen, and it's even more problematic or more sad, is that this will now become the norm because they've already threatened to really, truncate or condense the minor league format. And, I'm reading now, it looks like there's going to be roughly 40 teams losing affiliate status, 40 minor league teams.
Wow.
That's a lot of players. So residually, this is damaging. Not a surprise this happened, but unfortunately, I think the bigger domino comes down the road when minor league baseball looks very different.
Yep.
All right, Teke, ready for a little blast or no?
Yep, let's get it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Teke and Tierney.
Okay, Netflix is set to produce a 6-part series on Colin Kaepernick called Colin in Black and White, based on his high school years. Are we more interested in a series on his formative years or time as a social justice advocate?
Well, I think we're still evolving. We're still seeing the evolution of his social justice advocacy, BT. And we know that he's got the right to vote campaign that he's been putting out just for a few years now. I think it will be interesting to explore his upbringing with obviously mixed parents and, you know, what shaped his interest, even though I honestly think that a lot of his thoughts on the world happened post his stardom, right? Before he, you know, but all that stuff that happened before was informative, but not necessarily indicative of what his social justice stance is all about. But it will be interesting to see it.
I'm much more interested on the formative stage. I really am. Mm-hmm. Even though there's a lot of questions that I would like to get answers, and eventually, well, hopefully we will, on his most recent events, his most recent actions. But I think it's going to be fascinating to see if it's done well. And let's face it, if it's Netflix, it probably will be done well.
Yep.
To really see, you know, just what I do agree with your assertion that it probably shaped more recently.
Mm-hmm.
But there was probably certainly but highly
context,
probable,
highly
probable that there was a canvas that was painted with certain imagery that bothered him and stuck with him clearly when he was during his formative years. So I would say earlier to me is more intriguing at this point. Ron Rivera was asked yesterday on The Score in Chicago, 670, about the Redskins team name and said, quote, "I think that's a discussion for another time." So he kind of passed the buck. Wow. "With all the changes around the country, is now the time to finally make the change?"
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe you make any change due to public pressure unless it's just unavoidable. And there's a lot of public pressure here. But I don't know that it's unavoidable.
Yeah, I grew up a Redskins fan, BT, and this is a complicated conversation because there are a lot of people that find it offensive. There are a lot that don't. I'm talking about Indians, and so it's American Indians. So it's one of those situations that they've delayed and delayed and delayed for a long time. But I got to be honest, BT, I think it is time. The thing that they need to worry about, and I think it's economic, is how to protect the brand of the Redskins, which are synonymous with the National Football League and all the years and successes that they've had. To protect that is probably going to be harder than that. So I think this is actually a money thing, not a is it time thing.
Well, that's the wrong thing. It should be the right or wrong thing.
I agree with you, which is why I think it's time. But I got you. I think money's going to hold it back.
You know, I can make the case, though, that if you actually change it, you can make more money because all the people who have an issue with it might actually, you know, go out and buy the jersey.
That's right.
So I don't know the answer. When we talk about race relations and what's acceptable and what's not, certain voices are heard, so it's easier to decipher what's offensive and what's not. To Tiki's point, it's really mixed within the Indian community, and it's not nearly as loud as it just doesn't permeate the inner scope of conversation.
Yeah, agreed.
It doesn't. It's on the periphery. I'm not saying that that's right. But if Indians feel that it needs to be changed, then it should be changed. But the urgency feels less to me because the volume is lower. Now, loud volume doesn't always make things right. We know that.
Yep.
But
it's
a tough one. I don't know.
It's a very tough one. It's almost unfair to ask Ron Rivera this question, too. I know he's now the head coach, but he's not immersed in the history yet. I'm sure he'll learn it over time. And I don't know if there's a company policy, and there likely is, to not talk about this.
But let me ask you this. You might be right, company policy. But don't you think you get on a radio station, a big one, and you know what's going on in society? Ron Rivera's been a coach for a long time. He's been a player. He gets it. You know, he needs to be either prepped by a PR staff or have the inner instincts to know that this question's coming.
Agreed.
And even if you're not allowed to answer it, have a better answer than that.
No, I
that's
definitely,
not a good answer.
I definitely agree. I just don't know if he was prepped.
Yeah, I got you.
It's the Redskins, man.
That's the Redskins. That's true. They can barely do football.
Yeah.
They can do PR. All right. According to ESPN, the Bulls felt they had a verbal commitment from Chris Bosh to join the team back in 2010. Would LeBron and Wade have won a title without Chris Bosh?
You know, I think so, because I think they would have found someone to fill that role. is an influential post guy who could also stretch a little bit. Because remember, it wasn't as stretched as it is now back then. So you didn't need like a Kevin Love type player. You didn't need that kind of guy. You just needed someone who was influential in the paint, but could also drag people out of the paint. Because we know that, you know, more so than LeBron, Dwayne Wade likes to play around the rim. And so you need someone to pull those bigs out. So would they? I think they would have. I do. I think they would have found a player because LeBron is always connected to almost everybody.
I'm not so sure, though. First of all, you could point quite literally to the offensive rebound that Chris Bosh got that kicked into the corner, you know, for Ray Allen knocking in that triple. I mean, you know, that first of all, that's one championship.
Yep.
And only won two. You know, I would say that I would disagree. I really do. I believe that the presence of Chris Bosh, there weren't a ton of games like this, but forget about the playoffs, right? Everybody knows that. But, you know, he was a guy who, you know, for the most part, well, he had some injuries, but he was able on a night that didn't seem very important to the rest of the league to carry the load, drop 25, let LeBron and D-Wade cruise a little bit, get the requisite wins to have home court. You know what I mean? So, like, those are little things you don't think about. And I'm not so sure if anybody other than Chris Bosh would, in that role would have been able to fill that. So I think Chris was perfect. I think he's underrated. He'll eventually be a Hall of Famer. And I do not think they would have won without Chris Bosh. I disagree with you.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
The guy was efficient. He was money from the free throw line, 80-plus percent every year at Miami. Guy was good. Chris Bosh could play. He really got hosed at the end. You know, he had two or three more good years in him.
Yeah. We didn't get to this last one, BT, about Matt Kemp. I mean, I haven't heard that name in years.
Where was he last with the Reds? He was with the Reds?
So Matt Kemp is signing a deal, or he's been added to the Rockies
60-man.
The 60-man because Ian Desmond has opted out.
Yes. Man, and Charlie Blackman has the virus.
Yes.
So you never know, God
never
forbid.
Know. That's right. He was an all-star. I mean, he just kind of disappeared, Matt Kemp.
He was dating Rihanna, too.
When that's
Rihanna
right.
was just coming up. So Matt Kemp's got a good resume.
Yeah.
Good resume. Matt Kemp, for a couple of years, was an absolute superstar. Masher, fielder, runner, all the tools, man. Take good show tonight. I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
Most certainly, brother.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate you, everybody. Have a great Tuesday. Check out our podcast, radio.com. Tiki and Tierney on Twitter. And as always, remain safe, sensible, and remain sane. We'll catch you soon. Peace. Gotta go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.